The following is an unrehearsed interview with United States Senator Chuck Grassley speaking to you from Washington, D.C. Participating in today's public affairs program are David Fannin of KMCD Radio in Fairfield and Anelia Dimitrova of the Waverly Newspapers and Cedar Falls Times. The first question will come from KMCD's David.
Good afternoon, Senator.
Good afternoon. Glad to be with you.
Thank you, sir. My question has to do with the recent murder of the young woman in San Francisco and sanctuary cities. Do you think that withholding federal funds from sanctuary cities is going to be effective, or do you think that federal lawsuits might force the courts to force cities to comply with federal laws?
Well, I hope the latter, but we make the laws. We don't enforce the laws. So everything's dependent upon the executive branch of government under the president faithfully executing laws according to their oath of office, and they don't do that all the time. And so I think it's dependent upon two things. First of all, will the president issue the detention orders that need to be ordered to save them? And then if that's done and the city does not turn over the person to the federal authorities, then about the only leverage we have is withholding federal funds. And I think in most cases, that's a pretty good lever because, local government's always short of money and they want everything they can do and they're getting paid for doing a federal function anyway. And if we withhold it, it seems to me to be legitimate because they aren't carrying out their responsibilities of the federal government.
I was just wondering if, when those things don't happen at the local level, is a lawsuit in order for the courts to force the cities to comply with the federal law?
If the person bringing the lawsuit would have standing, but isn't a little ridiculous for the, in this case, the federal government, if they're carrying out their responsibilities, do what they have to do, it'd be a little ridiculous for the federal government to sue when they have the right under the law to do exactly what they did. Anelia.
Senator, good afternoon.
Yeah.
You have a long-established record on immigration and veteran issues, and I'm truly curious how Donald Trump's comments on both sit with you.
Well, I can only tell you what Chuck Grassley would say. I would abide by the Reagan resolution or fifth commandment, 11th commandment, I guess it is, that you speak no ill of another Republican. Now, that doesn't apply to just Trump. That applies to all these Republican candidates for president and those of us that are senators as well. And I think that that if you live by that, that's the best thing we can do. I think you are going to get further with the press by speaking about the issues, not only the press, but the public generally, speaking about the issues and not being ad hominem or personal, is the case with a lot of presidential candidates.
My next question has to do with the continued aggressive nature of the Russian military in the Ukraine and elsewhere, I'm sure, and the Russian economy being what it is because they spend so much on their military. With the provision in the Iranian nuclear deal that will allow the Islamic Republic to purchase conventional weapons in a few years, most likely from Russia, and the fact that China will be purchasing oil from Iran and pumping billions, if not trillions of dollars, into the Iranian economy, which eventually end up in the Russian coffers after selling the weapons. How would you address that triple-edged sword?
Well, I think I'd address it two different ways. Number one, I'll probably address it by continuing to be very skeptical about the agreement that the president negotiated. If you're watching Foreign Affairs Committee today, you're going to find out that a lot of senators, including one or two Democrats, have a lot of questions about whether Kerry did a very good job of negotiating. And I would continue my skepticism until I read the 190-page document. And I've got 60 days to do that. And if I keep that same skepticism after I read the document, it might even be greater, could be lesser, but probably be greater, then that would lead to a no vote there. Now, when we vote no, and we and the agreement still might go into effect, you know, you still have the problems you're talking about, but there isn't much you can do about an independent country unless you're willing to reimpose sanctions, use more diplomacy, or even go to war. And I don't think there's a stomach right now for going to war. And then I would answer your question about the Ukraine, as the United States ought to supply more weapons to the Ukrainian government. So far, it seems to me we've given them mostly a little bit of intelligence information and meals for their troops, and that's not enough. They need a lot more. Anelia?
Senator, have you heard from Iowans regarding the Confederate flag controversy? Have people called your office and explained or complained or in any way responded to what has been happening in the news regarding the Confederate flag? And more importantly, where in your mind is its place in public spaces?
I think its place is in a museum or any private person that wants to fly it. And that's based upon their rights under the Constitution. And I wouldn't presume to interfere with people's personal rights. Might disagree with them, but freedom of speech is freedom of speech for everybody. In regard to that specific flag, it shouldn't fly only on private land or in museums. And I believe I'll stop there unless you had a follow-up.
Not about the Confederate flag.
Okay.
I do want to know what you're up to and what you're working on right now, as usual. You want to always keep in touch
with
that.
There's three things the Senate's working on. This week and next week, finish the highway bill, then finish a cybersecurity bill, maybe a conference report on defense authorization, and maybe another conference report on customs-related legislation. Then we adjourn on August the 7th, I believe it is, and we'll be out until Labor Day. Then when we come back after Labor Day, there's going to be an unusual demand on senators because, you know, normally we don't sit on the Senate floor and listen to each other debate or speak. We generally do that while we do other things in our office on television like you might do in your living room. And McConnell has said that he's going to ask every senator to be present during their seats during a debate. And if any senator wants to speak, and I think he's encouraging every senator to speak, and I'll be glad to speak, but it would be a limited amount of time and try to get this thing done and actually voted on by September the 16th, which I think is a 60-day period of time since it was signed. And that's what the law allows the Congress to do, both the Senate and the House.
I would like if you could opine on your urging of the EPA to increase the volumes for biodiesel production, the tax incentives for alternative energy, and when might this come to the full Senate?
The 52 provisions that expired December 31st, tax provisions like wind and biodiesel and 50 other ones, were voted out of committee. There's a slight chance, and some talk about them being attached to the highway bill. I doubt if that'll happen. Then they'll come up in September otherwise. And those things, I think, are going to go through the Senate. I don't know about the House, but through the Senate about the same way that they came out of committee. Then in regard to the other item you ask about.
Biodiesel production.
Oh, yes. We wrote a letter with 36 senators signed the letter, and it went to EPA saying, biodiesel figures for the year 15 are probably about right, but they're way under what we can produce and what we ought to be using for 16 and 17. So we're asking them to consider their period of time, 16 and 17, to get the numbers higher. Thank you, David and Anelia, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.